Welcome to 15 with Christine. Will Slappy, CEO of Slappy Communications, is our special guest today. So let's get started. On 15 with Christine, we talk about all things business growth. But before we dive in, I want to remind you where you can find the broadcast. I'll come to you live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. Hit the subscribe button and you won't miss an episode. My goal with 15 with Christine is to introduce you to people who can help you take your business and even take your career to the next level. Welcome, Will. So glad to have you on this week.
Good morning, Christine. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to see you. You know, Will, I've got a couple of questions for you about how you specifically help businesses avoid those disasters that can come their way from a tech perspective, you know, and even focus on growth. But first, I'd like to ask you a little bit about the Slappy Communications story and about your story specifically.
Yeah, sure. We can spend the whole time on that, but I'll give you a real short version here. My father started our company back in 1983, so we'll be 40 years here shortly. I grew up in the business. I remember sweeping the floors in the warehouse back in the days of paper tickets, you know, filing those away, pulling and pretty much every, you know, job within the company. Took over running the company about 5 or 6 years ago. And then about 2 years ago, we started a really aggressive growth path and doubled the company in the past 2 years, doing both acquisition and organic growth. So it's been an exciting ride for the whole time, but especially the last couple of years.
Congratulations. It's exciting to hear. But I'm curious, you know, just as someone who uses technology all the time, as probably all of us do, you know, how do you help people, you know, with those problems that just really drive you crazy, you waste a lot of time? You know, I think of things like, have you ever spent 30 minutes just trying to get into a critical application because your password's not working? What can go wrong there?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that, you know, when it comes to like something like passwords, there's this kind of this dichotomy where on one side you have security. You know, and if we want to have like, you know, to be absurd, have like a, you know, 150 character password of random characters, right? Like that would be impossible for somebody, you know, to guess, but be pretty impractical to use. So on the other side, you have, you know, application or ease of use. So you got ease of use versus security. And so you're constantly weighing between those things. So there's a couple of things that we will do, you know, for companies, because I hear all, I mean, probably the most common complaint on passwords is people say they change every 90 days. They got to be like at least 12 characters. They got to have all this randomness to it. And I can't remember. So I'm just going to write it down and, you know, stick it up on my, my screen here so I can remember my password. And of course, that's not great for security.
Yeah. So you mean like where it's out in the open?
Yeah, where it's out in the open. Literally, people will have a sticky note or a little label up on the top of their screen with their passwords. We see it all the time. And they do that because, you know, it's not easy to use. And so they have to figure out, you know, a way to make it easy to use. So what we will help companies do is two things. First of all, a lot of times having a longer password, assuming that the system will allow it, but that's still easy to remember. So a lot of times a sentence can work great. So you can have a password that could be, I enjoy walking my dog every Friday at 9 a.m. and 5 p.m.
I have a question for you. How do you know? Because, I mean, I'm much more likely to remember that than some crazy mix of characters. But how do you know if your system will let you put in something that long?
Sometimes the easiest way is just simply to try it. Like, when you have to reset your password, you can put it in there. A lot of times, you know, on the right or left or somewhere, it will give you like details of this is how long the password can be. And so, you know, if it can't be longer, there's other tricks of the trade, like, you know, and hackers have figured some of these tricks out. So you have to be careful with them, but it's better than not having them. So you can replace, you know, an I with a 1 or an exclamation point, you know, or an A with an at, you know, a three for an E, those kinds of things that can make it a little bit more secure, but still easier to remember. But one of the easiest thing is make it longer, make it a sentence, make it easy. And then the second thing that I want to share with you is two-factor authentication.
Okay. So
that's even as critically important as the password itself, because even if you have a super secure password, people could still get that through different hacking mechanisms and phishing and whatnot. So if there's a two-factor where, hey, you log in, but it says, hang on, I don't recognize this computer. I don't recognize your IP address. You know, there's some stuff on the back end. Then it will, you know, you got to do your two-factor and you got to come here. And so now you got to get your cell phone plus know your password. So that increases the security exponentially without making it very difficult on the end user from an ease of use perspective.
Sure. Now, you know, Will, a lot of companies I work with, like, you know, my HubSpot and other apps I think of that I use, I mean, they actually force me to do that, but those are huge companies. So can small to medium-sized businesses implement that as well? And what's it like for them? Is it complex?
Yeah, you know, it all depends on the application. One of the things that we like to do as a company is simplify that. And one thing that I want to make sure we don't skip over real quick is the impact, because sometimes people don't realize, like, what's the impact?
Right.
And the biggest impact is something like ransomware. If someone gets your password, they log into whatever application, website, they encrypt all your data and say, hey, you owe me $1 million if you want to get your data back. So that's the reason why it's important to begin with.
Exactly.
And there's, you know, a lot of other, you know, reasons as well, but that's like the most, you know, I guess, impactful one. What was your question? I kind of got off on the impact there for a second.
Well, oftentimes I think of that two-factor authorization. I mean, I found a lot of big companies I work with they force you to use it.
Right. Yeah. So most of the a lot of the modern day applications have it. They don't all force it. So one of the easy things is go in there and find, you know, go to the security settings and simply turn it on. And if it doesn't have it, there's other softwares that we can use that can add two-factor to whatever software you're using. And then you take it a step further, there's something that's called single sign-on, where you can have your one sign-on that you use, like, for your computer, that can let you into a lot of different things. You know, think about, like, Face ID on your phone, you know, is one of the things. So there's a similar type of thing, you know, in the computer world. So that way, you know, part of the goal with passwords is to have a secure password, but less passwords that you have to remember. Use the two-factor authentication. You know, biometrics is starting to even become a bigger thing that now can make sure that you are secure, but also keep the ease of use.
Okay. You know, and whether someone has, you know, 15 or 20 employees or a couple hundred employees, you can help them do that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm also curious, when you talk about security, you know, it's amazing how creative these, I don't know if they're hackers or who they are, that send you these phishing emails. Yeah. I've even started getting them through the most random places, like from my website. They're getting to me and sending me stuff because I guess they know I'll click on it. What are you seeing with the creativity of these people that don't have good intent?
Yeah. You know, with COVID and people being remote and everything else, I mean, it's 2 to 3 times more phishing emails, you know, since COVID than there were before. So, you know, there's a big uptick. So I was actually meeting with a prospective client earlier this week, and they had a really kind of funny story of what happened with them. So they had a phishing email that came in from the wife of one of their key customers. And somebody identified that, hey, and I'm not sure if it was really from her or just, you know, to make it look like it was coming from her. So somebody identified, hey, this is a phishing email. So they sent an all employee email to say, hey, everybody, this is a phishing email. And then some people were, you know, there's all these reply alls. No, this is, you know, his wife. This is, you know, this is legit. And other people like, no, you know, so there's all this banter back and forth. So you got all this unproductivity.
Yes.
From people arguing over email. And meanwhile, some other person may not even see the email thread and still click on the email. And then now, you know, fall for whatever, you know, the phishing attack was trying to accomplish there. So like in that situation, what we will do is put a software in place that if somebody sees an email that looks suspicious, they can click report phishing inside of Outlook very easily. It goes to the NOC. If the NOC identifies, yep, that's a phishing, they will pull that email from everyone's mailbox within the whole organization. Okay. And not only that, it's a community driven thing. So if that same hacker is sending that same phishing email to other organizations, it can pull it from all of those organizations as well. So, you know, all of a sudden the email just simply disappears from the mailbox. You can't read it. You can't get to it. And you don't have that loss of productivity. One of the things that, you know, I love to say is less time clicking and more time producing. And that's one of the things we want to help companies do is, hey, let's get the right tools in place so that you don't have people wasting time on the email, you know. And then the other thing that I recommended to that prospective client as well, this is a little bit different subject, but on the all employee emails, a lot of people don't realize that you can restrict who can send to those large groups within your company.
Right.
You make it to where, you know, a manager has to approve a reply all before it goes to everybody. So that way, when you send an all employee email out, you know, if somebody replies back to it, and sometimes it's harmless. It's just like, great, thanks, whatever. But you get 15 of those, all of a sudden, you know, your inbox is filling up and you miss what's, you know, important, or somebody has a dissenting opinion or whatever, then that causes confusion. So, you know, you can control what goes out. And that way, if it's not important, whatever that reply all, you don't have to, you know, send it to the whole organization. So a little bit different, but two little quick things that you can now do that.
What's that?
Well, just those. No, I mean those two quick things. I mean, one, having the software that pulls the email, so you never have to send an all employee email to let everybody know. That's the easiest. But then the other piece is, you know, using a function already built inside of, you know, Exchange or Office 365 that lets you limit, you know, who has authorization to send to those larger group, you know, email distribution groups you have.
That's a great point. Do you find are business owners really aware that they can implement these things and that it's not difficult?
You know, sometimes they are. Probably the number one thing that I hear when I'm talking to people is that they have, you know, they like the idea of the technology, but they don't necessarily always know all of the little, you know, idiosyncrasies of it and how to apply it, you know, to their business. So we got two companies right now that we're working with just this past month. One of the main things we did was help them simplify their processes. Over time, they had grabbed, oh, let's use Dropbox. Oh, hey, let's use this, you know, G Suite thing. And we can use these files this way. And we're going to do this over here. And let's grab this other side. You know, they have all these different pieces. And so we came in and helped them simplify that and helped them make sure that the software that they were using was integrating. Again, going back to what I was saying before is, you know, we're trying to maximize the amount of minutes per day that their producers have been producing. Less time clicking and more time producing. And so, you know, when it's integrated and works together, and that's what we love to help companies do. So, hey, sometimes they have the technology and we're helping them actually embrace it and use it. And then many times we're adding maybe a little bit extra technology, you know, to what they're doing. But that can make a huge impact in terms of the productivity of the business, and compared to what it costs, is kind of a no-brainer decision in many
that ways. Makes sense. So you take all these pieces together that maybe they've built over time and make it simple so that their employees can focus on their customers and on their prospective customers and not on just making everything work on the back end.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. So there's all sort of, I mean, we could spend hours talking about all sort of tips and tricks. And we have an ongoing relationship with our customers, constantly educating, constantly helping them through that process. And there's new stuff that comes out. I mean, tomorrow we'll have some, you know, new thing that we can do to help companies be more efficient. So we want to constantly be having, you know, that conversation with everybody. So one other thing that I would mention, just because of everything that's going on with the pandemic, is the remote work piece. I mean, that's been a big thing, a big conversation. So a customer recently, you know, they used to have everybody in the office, but now they got people at home, working remote, on the road, all these different things. And so, you know, we were able to come in, like on the phone side, for example, hey, they can take their phone calls here with the app. They can take them on their computer. They can log in to, they had like a pool of desk and stuff that anybody can use. They can log into a phone there. So, you know, just helping them be more productive and also be more flexible as the workforce is moving that way.
That's awesome. Well, Will, I really appreciate you joining us today. Appreciate all of you that are listening and watching for joining in. If you're a business owner and you're thinking, you know what, I should probably talk with Will or his team. You can go to Slappy Communications at www.slappy.com, or you can connect with Will on LinkedIn. He shares some great stuff. Thanks, Will, for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely, Christine. And you know, we'd be happy to come in and help people, you know, do a quick analysis, you know, see, hey, are you secure? Do you have any security holes? Yep. And you know, what efficiencies are there to be gained? So would love to connect, with people on LinkedIn and see what they're doing and learn about their business. So thanks so much for having me today, Christine.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Enjoyed it. Well, we will be back in 2 weeks when we welcome Justin Hardy, the CEO and president of Switch. We're going to talk about how they help their clients grow and thrive.